Welcome to the 4th and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
Week one is in the books, folks.
Who's ready to break the bank?
Yes, that's the big question today. Who's wasting all their fab on week one?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you've checked your credit because we're going to be making some big bids today.
We'll try our best not to overreact. But once again, everyone, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Nick Seitz, joined by James Donahue.
What's going on, everyone?
Before we get into our week two transactions, we're going to break down what we saw in those two games last night, starting with the Steelers and the Giants. Jimbo, any big takeaways from the game that you saw?
Well, we're going to be talking about Benny Snell later on in this show, but something that stuck out to me and something I was really surprised and happy to see was that Juju Smith-Schuster has been able to revive himself in this offense, and also Deontay Johnson was able to see 10 targets in this offense.
Yeah, I think my big takeaway was the Pittsburgh defense looks extremely scary.
Oh, man, overwhelming.
And for like 70% of the game, Saquon had negative yards. And Saquon finished the day at 15 carries and 6 yards. Ben Roethlisberger had more rushing yards than Saquon.
Yeah, so did Daniel Jones.
Oh, gosh. That's more understandable. But 6 receptions, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, a guy we're going to be talking about later in today's episode.
Yeah, also, speaking on Saquon again, he did walk away from this game with 9 targets, and I don't think this is something that we necessarily need to hit the panic button just yet. I think this is just a testament to the Steelers' defense, as Nick mentioned.
I agree. And any other really big standouts? I mean, Deontay Johnson, a commanding target share, a guy I was really hyped up for, a breakout candidate. Didn't really see anything from the tight ends, Evan Ingram, non-existent.
I think it was promising, though, that he did get 7 targets. So, yeah. I mean, at least he's getting looks. He's still super heavily involved in this offense. Again, not ready to hit the panic button on that either.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely holding Evan Ingram if you drafted him. All right, let's move on to the other game, the Titans at the Broncos.
Ah, man.
A very big slugfest. Jimbo, go ahead and share your experience last night.
Well, it wasn't a good one, Nick, that's for sure. For some reason, Corey Davis decided to come out of retirement and make a name for himself as an NFL wide receiver again. And in the meantime, A.J. Brown completely disappeared. I had no idea where he was pretty much the entire game. And all I needed was a touchdown from either Derrick Henry or A.J. Brown in order to win my matchup. And I'm not necessarily mad at Derrick Henry at all walking away with 116 yards, but my God, with the last play of the game, Tennessee was on the goal line. Ryan Tannehill calls an audible. I saw it. I saw the matchup. A.J. Brown was one-on-one. Tannehill lobs it up, and A.J. Brown was just barely out of reach, thus giving me my first loss of the season.
Yeah, me and Jimbo losing in all of our leagues week one to very unfortunate circumstances, but I mean, that's fantasy football. Melvin Gordon took over the backfield. Phillip Lindsay came out today. He has turf toe. I'm not sure if he's going to be playing this weekend, but Melvin Gordon had an early fumble, which was concerning, and you saw Lindsay kind of take over the role until he got hurt. But, I mean, Melvin Gordon looked good other than the fumble.
He did look good. Now, I think I'm going to – I already know your answer to this question, but – Melvin Gordon plays the Steelers next week. What are your thoughts on that?
I do own him in one league, and he's going to be on my bench.
Yeah, I'm definitely tempering my expectations after the defense we saw last night was able to shut down Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and we saw Tannehill throw for 43 attempts for Tannehill was very impressive, 2 touchdowns. Yeah, I was just so concerned that A.J. Brown wasn't targeted more in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you see that he finished the night with 8 targets, but that doesn't necessarily illustrate how much he was targeted throughout the night. Most of those targets ended up coming in the late third quarter slash the rest of the fourth quarter. So it was promising to see that when they needed to score and move the ball downfield, they wanted to depend on A.J. Brown and create some big plays there. But I think a narrative that's interesting, that something I'm going to have to follow, is this going to be the amount of attempts Ryan Tannehill can average? Because we know that he was on the lesser side of passing attempts last year, but it'll be interesting to see if Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, A.J. Brown, and Jonnu Smith can all average anywhere from 6 to 8 targets.
Yeah, I think this game, the game script was more of a sense of urgency due to it being a low-scoring game and it being a close game, but they kind of had, there's always an urgency to score, which is, I think, why they threw it so much. Jonnu Smith did Jonnu Smith things. He also had 7 targets and a TD. On the other side of the ball, though, I think Noah Fant has secured himself as a top 10 tight end this year, most likely.
Absolutely. He walked away with 6 targets and 81 yards, and we're going to be talking about him later in this show. But I think the most promising thing here for Fant is that no one's fighting for his position. No one's fighting for targets at the tight end position, and I think he could be a top 6 tight end considering how important he is to this offense.
And lastly, we'll talk a little bit about Jerry Jeudy, 8 targets, 4 receptions, 56 yards. He did have a kind of a big drop in the middle, but it was his NFL debut. I'm hoping that when Cortland Sutton returns, it's going to take a little pressure off Jerry Jeudy. If you have him, I would hold on to him. I wouldn't drop him just yet because he did receive the most targets on the Broncos last night, and that's worth keeping.
I'm with you there. I think I'm definitely a hold on Jeudy as well.
All right, everyone. Time to move on to the part of the show that you're all tuning in for. I think this has been the craziest week 2 waiver day that I can remember.
And I think the biggest reason for that, at least for me, is that this is my first year dealing with FAB and experiencing the whole FAB dynamics and trying to figure out how much money I need to spend. And I think like being in a league where it's the first experience for everyone else as well in my league has been really, really intense and adds a different element for sure.
All right, let's jump right in. I think we need to go in straight for it for the running backs. There's a lot of questions here to pick up. I'm going to go at the top of my board. The guy I'm going to bring up first is Nyheim Hines. You saw him when Marlon Mack was in, heavily involved in the passing game, even getting a few carries as well. Even when Mack went down, he was still seeing a lot of targets and whatnot, even with the presence of Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is going to be the premier running back, like the first and second down guy. But I do believe when game script goes south, I think they're going to rely more on Nyheim Hines and his pass-catching role, which was already solidified before the injury. I think Nyheim Hines could be just a plug-and-play guy probably the rest of the season with Marlon Mack down. What do you think, Jimbo?
I absolutely agree, especially since Philip Rivers is the quarterback in this offense. And if there's anything that we know about Rivers is that he can run an offense that 2 running backs can both find production and both be successful in. Like, as you mentioned, Marlon Mack is down, which means that's one less running back to worry about, which means, in my opinion, that there's guaranteed production for Hines and Jonathan Taylor both.
All right, would you rather take Nyheim Hines or the guy you're going for, Malcolm Brown?
I would rather take Nyheim Hines, but he's not available in my league, so I'm going to have to go with Mr. Malcolm Brown. And we all know the type of performance he had last night. I think he had 18 carries, and he had a touchdown, and he had, not to mention, he was targeted 4 times in the passing game, and he came away with 30 receiving yards, and something that stuck out to me was that he played 60% of the offensive snaps during this game, and Cam Akers only played 32% of the offensive snaps. Not to say that that's what's going to be all year, but I think if Malcolm Brown, the question is, can he keep that type of production sustainable? And if he can, then that's, I think, RB2 worthy, and I'm willing to pay a heavy price for that.
Yeah, I'm just a little worried with the Cam Akers situation. I do think Cam Akers is going to emerge eventually this season as the primary back. And the next 2 games, if you are planning on plugging and playing Malcolm Brown, he's going against the Eagles, fantastic D-line, and then the Bills, and we all know about the Bills' defense. So it might be a couple rough weeks if you do pick up Malcolm Brown. I am completely split between Nyheim Hines and Malcolm Brown. Brown looked like the most dominant back in the Rams backfield week 1, but I do believe things can change. I do believe Malcolm Brown will remain the goal line carry back for this team. He's much, much bigger than Cam Akers, but probably the 2 top guys this week coming off the waiver wire.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about another guy, James Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the guy nobody's talking about. Owned in like probably under 10% in most leagues. James Robinson, only running back to see 100% snap share for his team. I think he needs to be considered as a pretty big waiver option, needs to be owned.
Yeah, I mean, he was the only running back to get a carry in that offense. There's no other person competing with him besides Reichwell when he comes back from COVID situations. But at this point, he's the only running back in that offense, and he's the only back that the coaches trust in order to carry the ball. So I think he's a must-own as well.
Yeah, and he saw about 17 carries, averaging over 4 yards a carry. He was very efficient, and if he keeps being efficient like this, I don't see him giving up the role. If you're buying into James Robinson, you're buying into the Jaguars being good. And, hey, they beat the Colts this last week, so I think that's more hope than I was expecting for the Jaguars.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's also not available in my league, but I would definitely be going for him as well if I could.
All right, next man on the board. We got a lot of running backs. Let's talk about Josh Kelly, the guy backing up Austin Ekeler. Josh Kelly, significantly bigger than Ekeler. He is definitely the goal line back for the Chargers. 12 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown. Are you nervous for Austin Ekeler?
Not necessarily, just because Anthony Lynn, the head coach, came out and actually stated that getting more carries for Ekeler is becoming a priority. So I don't think necessarily Ekeler is in danger in terms of opportunity or production, but I do believe Joshua Kelly, this type of performance, it cannot be ignored. I think the only person that has any worry is Justin Jackson, because clearly he's no longer the number two back in this offense.
Right, and we saw in past years Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler work. I think it will be a similar situation with Josh Kelly and Ekeler. Josh Kelly being more of the goal line ground and pound back. But yeah, I don't think Ekeler should not be worried. He'll get his receiving work, and I think things will be fine. Next guy you should look to pick up is Benny Snell. James Conner, with his rich injury history, already experiencing injuries in week one, questionable to return in week two, but I think Benny Snell needs to be owned in every single league.
I do too, and it's definitely conflicting. I'm not willing to spend as much on Benny Snell as I am as Malcolm Brown or Nyheim Hines, simply because James Conner isn't necessarily out for sure when it comes to week two. It's going to be more of a day-to-day basis, so it might be a little more of a headache if you own Benny Snell. But however, with that being said, he still needs to be owned, because the type of performance he had last night, I think he had 19 carries for 113 yards in Connor's absence. So, and if Connor does miss another week, that's definitely something you want to be plugging into your lineup.
Right, and honestly, if Connor's already injured, he's probably going to injure again sometime down the season. And Benny Snell is an easy plug and play if Connor's out. All right, another guy we need to talk about is Adrian Peterson. Looked like the old AP this past weekend. Jimbo, you covered this yesterday, but I think Adrian Peterson has to be owned as well. I don't think DeAndre Swift is taking over this backfield anytime soon. Kerryon Johnson, you can drop him.
Yeah, I mean, the narrative's kind of short and sweet here when it comes to this backfield. Adrian Peterson, what he did, I think he was averaging almost 6 yards a carry. He walked away with almost, I'm pretty sure, around 90 rushing yards on 14 attempts. He was extremely efficient, and that was one of the best ways this offense was able to move the ball down the field. So that's definitely something you have to own as well. If I have him on my team, I'm definitely plugging and playing him.
All right, last running back we're going to be talking about here is Frank Gore. Lev Bell on the IR with a hurt hamstring. For those of you who don't know, Adam Gase played Lev Bell after he tweaked his hamstring and threw him back in. Lev Bell hurt it even more, and now he's on the IR for at least 3 weeks. If you're in a very deep league and you need a play, Frank Gore can give you some type of production, but I'm talking like 12 or 14-person leagues that are super deep.
Right.
But I'm saying if you're insanely desperate, you can play Frank Gore next week.
Yeah, especially against this upcoming matchup against the 49ers. I think his primary value is that he knows how to get it done when it comes to goal line carries. And if Sam Darnold somehow figures out how to get the ball down the field, which I believe he will against the 49ers, but if there's goal line opportunities there, then Frank Gore will figure it out how to get it into the end zone. But that's the only value that Frank Gore brings to me.
Yeah, I just think for the 3 week absence of Lev Bell, you're getting a starting running back, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, I just got the update now, like 20 minutes ago. They just signed Kalen Ballage, but that's not something that scares me either. but they are adding, I think it was more of just like an insurance piece just because they just experienced an injury. But yeah, it's not something I'm too excited about.
All right, wide receivers, lots of guys to talk about here that might be available in your league. We'll try to get through these as efficiently as possible. So starting off here, Russell Gage, 20% target share, 12 targets, 9 receptions, 114 yards. He had a very similar production rate at the end of last season, and I think Russell Gage could be, this could be a common thing we see this season.
Yeah, I agree. I think he definitely has to be owned. 12 targets absolutely cannot be ignored. I know you talked about it in previous episodes, but there was a lot of garbage time through the air, but it's also the performance that we saw last year as well. So not much to say here. I'm putting a claim on Russell Gage.
Another guy who had a very great week one performance, Robbie Anderson. Something surprising from the Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater had the most deep attempts, I think, believe past 15 yards of any quarterback in week one. I think we can actually rely on Robbie Anderson for season long production, or at least target share. He was on the field just as much as DJ Moore, had one less target than him. And as long as Teddy's throwing the ball deep, I don't see why not. Like, Robbie Anderson's a great option.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think the wide receiver that will be taking a back seat, unfortunately, is Curtis Samuel. I know he might have been a sleeper pick for a few of you listeners out there. I know he's gotten a little bit of hype, but this type of production from Robbie Anderson cannot be ignored. I absolutely expect this to continue.
Another guy who's more owned who might be available is John Brown. A monster game, 10 targets, 6 receptions, 70 yards. Josh Allen threw the ball for 46 times last game. Wow.
Yeah, that must be one of the most he's ever thrown.
Definitely. I mean, I've never seen the Bills throw the ball so much, but if they keep this up, good news for John Brown. He needs to be picked up.
Yeah, unfortunately, if John Brown is not owned, then we might not be doing the best job as podcast hosts, because this is absolutely someone that should be owned. He can be a wide receiver one, wide receiver two, depending on the right matchup consistently every week. And he obviously, as we saw in last Sunday, that he can sustain his target share that he had last year as well. So I'm happy about that.
All right, Jimbo, you can talk about the next person.
Oh, God. Well, I told people to start Sammy Watkins week one because of, you know, what he does during week one. But the question is, moving on for the rest of the season, is will he be a week one bag of potato chips and deflate by week two? Who knows? I have no idea. But honestly, I think a receiver that is in a Kansas City Chief offense, I think, is absolutely worth holding on to.
I agree. I mean, I'm not going to start him. I think he needs to do it for me to believe in him. I need to see him do it 3 weeks in a row. Then I'll buy in.
Yeah.
I'm not buying in because of last year, obviously. Darius Slayton, if he is available, needs to be owned. Looks like to be the number one target for the New York Giants as their deep threat. 9 targets, 6 receptions, 102 yards. Kind of enough said.
Absolutely. It looks like he's picking up where he was leaving off last season.
Another guy, Mike Williams. We were confused if he was even going to play week one. He did. His shoulder's looking healthy. 9 targets. Mike Williams, the known deep threat. I mean, if he's available, pick him up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's not much there to be talking about.
Another guy, Paris Campbell. A sleeper that a lot of you may not know about. Last year was the hyped rookie for the Colts. He is going to be the slot guy for Phillip Rivers. He had 9 targets, 6 receptions, 71 yards. When I'm looking at receivers, I love slot guys because their production's so steady and so dependent. They run a lot of the crossing routes, the under routes, and it's a lot of check down options for the quarterback, and we all know Phillip Rivers is going to panic and check down.
Yeah, I think Paris Campbell actually has the ceiling, or he has the potential to have a similar season as maybe a Jamison Crowder or John Brown, in my opinion. I think he could be a huge contributor in this passing offense.
All right, Jimbo, are you buying into Corey Davis's production that we talked about earlier?
I don't think I can.
I'm not. I think Corey Davis is freaking gross. We've seen him have good games before, and time and time again, he just reminds us why we hate him, and he's a terrible receiver.
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily fault you if you guys want to go out and get Corey Davis, but unfortunately, at the same time, because of his past, I just don't have enough confidence throwing him out there.
Yeah, I need to see at least two to four more weeks of production I can buy in. I just don't want to deal with that headache. I mean, there's a lot of other factors. Like, Tannehill threw a lot more often than he normally does. It was just a lot of different factors I think helped Corey Davis. I mean, he did have a good game, don't get me wrong, but I personally am just not buying into it.
No, we'll just have to wait and see.
Jalen Reagor. Jimbo, what's your take on Jalen Reagor and his one reception for 55 yards?
I mean, he did have four targets, and he was missed on another deep shot who could have potentially given him a touchdown. I think, especially since Alshon Jeffrey is down, injured, I think Jalen Reagor, it could be another great target for this offense and another great deep threat for Carson Wentz.
I agree. He needs to be owned, in my opinion. All right, last two guys. These are more deeper picks, but guys, keep your eye on. Alan Lazard seems to be the number two in Green Bay. Had a decent game. I think four targets, four receptions for something like 60 yards. And then Scotty Miller, a surprising favorite receiver of Tom Brady last week. Another guy to keep your eye on as well as we enter week two.
We'll see how that situation goes. I'm not necessarily ready to go all in on Scotty Miller.
Me neither, but watching that game, he was used a lot, which I was very surprised by.
Right. I wonder if it was because of a hobbled Mike Evans, but I'm not sure.
All right, everyone. We're going to go to tight ends now. There's a lot of tight ends out there. A lot of people may be panicking. Jimbo, who's number one on your board for tight ends this week?
If he was available in my league, it would be Mr. Noah Fant, but he's not available in my league. So with that being said, my number one priority pick is Mr. Dallas Goedert, who saw eight targets in this past game, who in terms of target share blew Zach Ertz completely out of the water. This is someone that needs to be owned considering the fact that there is a lack of passing options in this Philadelphia offense.
Right, and he was on the field. He had a snap share of 80% compared to the 40 to 50% he saw last year. Dallas Goedert, probably hot guy off the board. A guy I have probably over him is Noah Fant. We talked about him earlier. His role in the offense is insane. A favorite target to Drew Lock, a deep threat, a red zone target. If Noah Fant is out there, you got to be aggressive. You got to spend a lot of fab and go get him.
I agree. Absolutely. You have to spend a lot.
Next two guys who had pretty good week ones, and I think we're going to continue production throughout the season. One is T.J. Hockenson, especially with Kenny Galladay out. They need big pass catching options to throw to, especially in the red zone. And Hockenson could be that guy. He caught all five of his targets for 56 yards in the score. I really like Hockenson this season. I think he's a potential breakout candidate.
I like him as well. It'll be interesting to see what the target share looks like once Galladay is back in this offense. The only reason why I'm slightly hesitant is because T.J. Hockenson also had a great week one last season, and then for the rest of the season was nowhere to be found. But that being said, this is definitely a priority pick for me as well at the tight end position, simply because he was able to catch all five and he caught a touchdown.
And a common trend with tight ends, you never see year one tight ends typically succeed. Typically, tight ends will break out in their second to third years. I don't know why this is the way it is, but I think it's just getting adjusted. But typically, you don't see year one tight ends breaking out, which is why they're usually not really talked about too much in their first year. Next guy up, Jonnu Smith. Saw a score last night. We talked about him earlier. Who'd you rather get, Jimbo, Jonnu Smith or T.J. Hockenson?
You know, I think I might actually go Jonnu Smith, considering that he did see seven targets last night, and last night was the third touchdown over his past five games he's played in. So definitely a red zone option for Ryan Tannehill, and that's probably why I'm going to be going Jonnu Smith over T.J. Hockenson. It just he seems more established and more consistent in this offense.
All right, fair enough. Lastly, we're going to be going to our quarterbacks. Who's your stream of the week, Jimbo? Who do you like the best on this list?
I like Big Ben versus Denver. And the reason being is because Big Ben put on a show last night. It was fun to watch him back playing football. And now, after last night's game, AJ Bouye, the cornerback for Denver, is highly questionable for week two, considering his shoulder popped out. And if he plays, he'll be wearing a harness. So I think it's a safe play, considering all the weapons they have through the air for Pittsburgh.
I agree. I think Big Ben's probably the best streaming option you can find out there, and he's available in most of the leagues as well. A guy I'm looking at possibly. It gets kind of gross after Big Ben, but Jimmy G versus the New York Jets. The New York Jets looked god awful in week one. Yeah, even though I think Kittle's probably not going to play week two, you still have Debo out. But I think the 49ers can get it done. Jimmy G can pass it to his running backs as well. Kendrick Bourne looks solid week one. So I think the New York Jets are just so bad. I think it just allows Jimmy to possibly have a good game.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And this is a, I think Jimmy has to come out and win this game. Losing is not an option as a returning Super Bowl team. I think he has to beat a team that is just such on the lower tier of the league.
And the last two streamer picks, if you need them, Ryan Tannehill versus Jacksonville is a great option, as well as Jared Goff at Philly. Philly with a terrible secondary. You saw Lame Haskins tear him apart last week. Incredible.
Yeah, I was able to walk away with the win.
All right, I think that's going to be it, everyone. I mean, there's a lot of options out there. I think my one bit of advice to all you people using Fab out there, you see all these wide receivers. Honestly, if you end up with one of them, you could be happy. Don't break the bank on wide receivers. You need to save your Fab for running backs.
Yeah, especially because there can be a new wide receiver that pops off every single week. So, and it is the position that has the most depth. So if you want to use your money strategically, I would try to figure out how to spend the most strategically at the running back position.
Right, and try not to overreact, everyone. It's week one. Things can change. People can fade. Keep calm and don't break the bank this week.
We'll see how it turns out. Well, it'll be interesting to see what you guys come away with.
All right, everyone, if you listened this far, thanks so much for joining us today in our transactions episodes. I hope we can help you a bit as you go in through your first wave of waivers.
Yes, hopefully your credit is good enough.
All right, everyone, thanks again for listening. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.